If you would open your Bible, if you haven't brought your Bible, once you open it up, we're going to get to a few scriptures today, and we're going to have you go to John chapter 6. Before we get there, we have been doing a series on prayer, and we've seen this evolve and grow to the process that Jesus began to define and describe to the disciples a pattern of prayer. He said, after this manner, after this pattern. And we've looked at all the different key elements, ingredients, if you will, in our prayer life. Because prayer is more than you complaining to God or you just asking God. See, when you pray, you're not informing God of anything. Jesus already said in that text that your Father knows what you have need of before you ask. So it's not you informing God, it's you connecting with your Father, Heavenly Father. Can I get an amen to that? I said, can I get an amen with that? Oh, you guys are great. And so we find through the process that God wants us to pray, and we went through the ingredients and elements. And as we do that, we talk about praise and worship. We talk about making the request. We talk about standing on the word and all these different things. And then we went into the phase of where Jesus said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And from there, we went down a different path. For in that context, it could be misread, in my opinion, misread. And please challenge everything I say with the word of God, because it's not my words, but God's word that makes the difference. I believe it could be misread where people look as they're asking God, please bubble wrap me from life. But Jesus said, in life you're going to deal with trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer, I've overcome. And so we've taken the perspective that God doesn't bubble wrap you from evil, he empowers you to defeat evil. The Bible tells us to overcome evil with good. So God doesn't want you to be victimized or be a victim and say, oh, well, I guess this is just the cards I'm dealt with today. No, he wants you to arise, shine, Isaiah 60 tells us, for your light has come. He wants you to rise up and be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He wants you to be more than a conqueror, for greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He wants you to be victorious. Give thanks to the God who always causes you to triumph. 1 John 5:4, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. God doesn't want you to be victimized. No, he wants you to realize in your praying, God, empower me that if evil shows up, I'm going to knock his head in. Because Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, destroying the works of the devil, destroying the works of evil. God doesn't want you to be victimized. See, God doesn't want me to be a victim. He wants me to be a victor. And so we begin to look at that process and talking about the armor of God and begin to go through the elements of that. And today, I want to, if the Lord willing, we'll close up this series with a thought that I believe connects all of these ideas together. Have you noticed that we are finally in what we might call the fall season? That's a good side note here. Even though the calendar said we were in the fall earlier, we knew that we weren't yet because the calendar said one thing, but the temperature was 95 degrees. Anybody realize that? It's like, if I only would have known it would have been 95 all the way through October, I might have kept my pool a little cleaner. Come on, somebody. People call, hey, it's 95. Can I come over and swim? You can, but it's green. You won't see any of your kids once they go under. Well, that's not too bad. That's between you, Jesus, and your children. I don't know about you. But you know, in the natural world, when it gets colder, when the season begins to change and it gets cooler, we put a coat on, do we not? I was meeting my wife for breakfast this week. Our rhythm is like I'll get up and early and take my daughter to school and then typically head to work or run the errands I need to run, and she'll pick her up and does the afternoon run. So typically I'll get up and maybe drop off Logan and go work out and then meet her for breakfast this particular day. And we decided we were going to sit outside. So I got there ahead and got a table, and I'm sitting there waiting for her. And as I'm waiting for her, the revelation came to me. It's no longer summer. It's cold. I tried because she likes it a little colder. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm going to just endure it. I'm going to last. And finally, I threw the towel and I told the waitress, I give in. I got to go back inside. It was too cold for me without a coat. Stay with me. You're like, what is he talking about? Just stay with me. When the season changes, when it gets cooler, when it gets colder, we put a coat on. That's the natural system that God created for us to follow. But today I want to talk about the system of God, because in the natural, when the season changes, we put on a coat. In the spiritual, the season doesn't change until you put your coat on. Stay with me. Because the seasons of God are not based on a calendar or the temperature. The seasons of God are based on the truth and revelation from His Word. And the Bible we see that talks about the coats of God. The metaphor, example, story, call it if you anything you want. We see in Matthew's Gospel chapter 22 that a story that Jesus gave about the kingdom of God and how the king, his son, was getting ready to be married. And so he did a big celebration and a dinner and had everything ready. And he told the servants, go invite the people that are designed to be invited. And when they came back, the servants told the king, unfortunately, none of them were interested. None of them were wanting to come. This is all a big picture of salvation because the Jews, Israel, who was the chosen people of God, refused the Savior, Jesus, when he came to the earth. And Jesus said, then the king said, well, go out into the highways and byways, find the people that don't even deserve it, invite everybody. Aren't you glad he invited everybody to salvation? Aren't you glad he invited all of us who do not deserve to be saved to be children of the Most High God? Amen. To have our sins forgiven. To go to heaven. Being a Christian, being a son and daughter of God doesn't mean that we were anything special because God has invited all. It's just we've seen the special opportunity and we've accepted the invitation. And the story goes on in Matthew's Gospel 22 in the parable that they invited people and the wedding was getting ready to start, the party celebration, the big dinner, and the king begins to work the room. He begins to walk through and talk to the guest. And as he's talking and greeting and meeting the guest, he comes across one person who did not have the wedding garments on. And he said to that person, which is a very obscure parable at first glance, and he said to him, why are you here? How did you get here? You don't have on the wedding garments. And then he told the servant something interesting. Take this guy, bind him, and get him out of here. Now, I thought that was kind of a little rough. Little possibly rude, if you will. The guy wasn't, I mean, you've invited him. But the story, the context that's being told is what we must understand from a culture perspective. Because in those days, and still in some cultures today, when a family has a wedding and they invite the guests, one of the things they do is they provide the wedding garments. They have a particular pattern. And from that pattern, they make the clothes for everyone that's coming. Can you imagine? You thought it was difficult to have a big party and dinner at your house with food and getting the house cleaned up and getting things ready and the invitations and who's coming. And so-and-so didn't RSVP and so-and-so never RSVPs. And they always come with a plus 12 instead of a plus 1. Come on, you know somebody like that, right? And you're thinking, oh my goodness, you got to get it cleaned up and get the house back together and then go back into the routine of life. And some people love that kind of rhythm. Some people hate that kind of rhythm. Can you imagine adding the clothes of every person? We want to invite you. We need to know your dimensions, your size, because we are going to provide, make, specially hand-make the outfit that you'll be wearing. That's even done today. You'll see some in some cultures, people, and they're all dressed in the same pattern. Men and women, different clothes, different styles, same pattern. And that's what's happening. So when the king comes in, basically what was the storyline is that the person chose not to wear the clothes that had been made for them by the king in celebration of his son's wedding. How does that entail for each and every one of us? Because this is a parable, a storyline. And the truth is that you can't get to heaven on your own righteousness is what it's talking about. Right. The robe of righteousness. You can't get to heaven on your own stuff. You're saved by grace through faith. Amen. It is a robe. It is a clothing. Right standing with God is a clothing made by God for you. Amen. In salvation. Amen. Say, I'm the righteousness of God.
I am the righteousness.
Come on, say, I'm the righteousness of God. In Christ Jesus. And so we go through the process and begin to see, wait a minute, God has different clothes for us. We've looked at the armor of God. Put on the armor of God. Let me read Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3. This will be in your notes on the app. There's notes and fill in the blank and opportunities to put your own notes if you'd like to have that. Isaiah 61, verse 3 says, the garment that God has given us, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Notice this key phrase that I want to isolate, just that phrase, the garment of praise. Say it with me, the garment of praise. The garment of praise. He doesn't give you the garment of praise because you're praising. He's given you the garment of praise to change the spirit of heaviness. So what does he do? He gives me something to put on to change the season that I'm in. He gives me something to put on to change the season I am in. He gives me something to put on. He gives me something to put on to change the season I am in. So if the season I am in is not the season I want to be in, I don't need to cry. I need to begin to look in the closet of God. For the truth, come on, somebody. He gives me the garment. So if I'm in the spirit of heaviness, he gives me the garment of praise to change the spirit of heaviness. Amen. Now, this might be deep for some. Put it on the back burner. But stay with me. God gives us the garment. There's a robe of righteousness. There's a garment of praise. Psalm says, what is a man that thou art mindful of him? For you've clothed him, when King James has crowned him, you have clothed him with glory and honor. On a side note, I personally, and this is something, if you disagree, that's fine. We can still agree on Jesus and love each other and pray for each other. But I personally disagree with the idea that Adam and Eve were naked the way we take in context that they were naked. Just a side note, just thought I'd throw that out there. I believe that they walked and clothed with the glory of God, the honor of God. It's the light of God. Because even when Jesus told the disciples, he said, a few of you, you will not pass away until you see the Son of Man in his glory. Right? And they went to the Mount Transfiguration. Do you remember that story? Peter, James, and John? Are you with me?
Oh, yeah.
Say amen.
Amen.
Oh, me, amen. Hey, what? Well, I just shot. Ah! That's good enough. For whatever you want to do, just make some noise. And Jesus takes them to, thank you for screaming over here. And I'll talk to you because that's more energy over here. Right now, everybody else is gone. Just us right here. And Jesus takes Peter, James, and John and takes them to the Mount we know as the Mount Transfiguration. And all of a sudden, the Bible says that their eyes are open and they begin to see Jesus transfigured. And Moses and Elijah shows up. Remember that? And Peter's like, excuse me, should we make some altars here? Peter gets himself in trouble. He does good things and sometimes messes things up. But what was it that they saw? They saw Jesus in bright light. See, I believe science is trying to catch up with the Word of God, not the Word of God trying to catch up with science. We're still trying to measure the speed of light. God has the ability to bend it and shape it like clothes because he is light. And Jesus referred to it. I didn't. Jesus referred to it. You're going to see the Son of Man come in the glory of his kingdom. And we see in Revelation that his clothes are so bright white that there's no need for the sun, Revelation tells us, because he himself brings light to the whole planet. So I believe that Adam and Eve, one of the things they lost their garments. And now they're awakened to the reality that something's missing, and God had to say, okay, you can't have this anymore. But knowing the plan of salvation, but I'm going to send my son. Right? Doesn't the Bible say in Romans that all have sinned and come short of the glory?
Yes.
But the blood of Jesus redeems us and brings us back.
Amen.
That's why, I don't mean to go down this road, but this is just, I like this, and if you don't, I still love you, and you can daydream if you want. But I love the reality of this, because that's why your physical body has to be transfigured. Because it can't carry the goodness of God. It's so heavy, it can't carry. Because you have a robe of light. We see TV and movies, they always have people in white robes, sandals. We're not in that day. No one's going to be in the back. So who's going to fix the seam, right? My robe got a little torn here. My kids were playing and right? Heaven's a real place, folks. You're not going to float around like a little angel with wings playing a harp. That's not, you are not an angel. You will never be an angel. You are created in the image of God.
Amen.
Oh, the Lord just need another angel. That's stupid. That's just stupidity gone to see. God, the angels are their own created being. But can you imagine? Your clothes are not like that. No, no, no. Your clothes are the literal glory, the goodness of God, like light. Your physical body can't handle that now. Adam gave that up. Adam gave that up. That was the separation from God. Adam gave that up. But Jesus is restoring it through the process of salvation. Come on. And so in this process, in this journey of life, because we're saved, our spirit man is saved at the conversion experience of accepting and asking Jesus to be our Lord and Savior and to forgive us of our sins. And we accept the work he did on the cross of Calvary for us. Can I get an amen? He died, he was buried on the cross. He was buried, and on the third day, he rose again for us so we can be saved. We're saved by grace through faith. That's a spiritual connection. Our mind still needs to be renewed, Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. But our physical body is still part of the salvation package, that redemption means purchased by the blood of Jesus. And he is going to one day restore the physical body and glorify it and bring it back into heaven. Now, during this process, while we're still on this earth, our physical bodies are not being glorified, although our inner person can be renewed day by day.
Right.
Let me say it again. Our physical bodies tend to age. Just look at the person next to you and say, Now, if you said that to your wife, I'm going to be praying for you for more reason than one. But Romans 13, verse 12, look at this. Romans 13, verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us put on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something we put on. There's something we put on. Because the clothes of God is not defined by the seasons around you. The clothes of God redefines the season around you. So I don't say it's cold and I put on a coat. No, you could say, oh, it's a bad day, I'm going to put on the garment of praise. Because I know when I put on the garment of praise, it begins to change something on the inside. And when I get the thing on the inside changed, it begins to change something on the outside. Because you don't know praise until you praise through a problem. You don't understand the power of praise until you've been in the darkness of a battle and a problem, and you don't feel God, you don't feel God's presence, you don't feel anointed, you don't feel saved, you don't know what you feel. You're numb, but you choose, I'm going to begin to praise him right where I'm at. Not because he's already done something, but because who he is. I need to give a quick shout out. I think our worship team that we have, the band and the worship team, are amazing. I'm thankful for what God's doing for us. And there's a lot of people to make that work. But I want you to know that I don't think they're amazing just because they sound good, and it's good that they sound good. That they play well, and it's good that they're very talented and skilled. Or that we have the cool lights and the video, and all those things are amazing. But the most important thing in praise is that it's not, because you don't use praise as a tool to entice people.
Right.
Praise is not there for you. Praise is not there for me.
Right.
Praise is there for him. That's why Paul and Silas could praise when they've been beaten and locked up and in the deepest prison, because it's not there because you're having a good day. It is a powerful weapon. It's the invitation of God's presence. That somehow has been lost in the church world, because we can get easily caught up in the tools that God gives us. And if we're not careful, we begin to worship the tools and not the maker of the tools. And in some circles, and I'm not pointing fingers and I'm not here to blame or attack anybody. In some circles, it's so polished, it's all about, ooh, that was a great set, they'll call it, but there's no presence. And if you don't understand the purpose of praise, people won't understand the purpose of praise. And you know what happens? When they get into a problem, they'll try to listen to a song to get a tap on their foot, and they have no understanding the power of the praise. Because the purpose of the praise is not for the people, it's for the presence of God in your life. So if I deal with the spirit of heaviness, I don't put on the garment of praise because I'm feeling good. I put on the garment of praise because I know where I'm at in the season I'm at. Is that where God wants me? And I need a change. I need the season to change. I need the moment to change. You don't understand the mind of God because God will bring things into your life to give you the authority. You're not using God. You're being equipped with what God's given you because you have authority. Matthew 18:18. What you permit or do not permit will be bound or loosed in heaven and earth. God's saying, listen, I'm giving you the empowerment for you to make a choice. You have to put it on. No one's going to dress you. You're not 2 years old and your mom is coming in to put it on you. No, no, you can stand in their room and say, how come no one's put? You have to choose to put on the praise. See, I'm putting on the garment of praise. As adults, we know to get our clothes ready. We know to put the clothes on. You don't wait for somebody to dress you unless you're some unusual aristocrat, and that's kind of weird in my opinion, but anyway. No, you know, you have enough sense that I need to put on some clothes. Yet in the church world, globally, so many Christians don't realize that, and they're waiting for somebody to put on clothes. Somebody can't put your clothes on for you. You have to choose to put on the garment of praise. And we put on the garment of praise because we know we're inviting God's presence here. And we know when we bring God into the situation, the season's about to change. Say my season is about to change. Say, my season is about to change. And you could take that with the garment of praise. You could take that with the armor of God. I put the armor of God on not because I've won the battle. I put the armor of God because there appears to be a battle. And although I don't feel it emotionally or I don't feel strong, the Bible didn't say feel strong. It said be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So I begin to put on. It's like eating. I don't eat because I'm full. No, I eat when I'm hungry, when I need food. That's when you begin to fill up on the right nutrients, hopefully, and you begin to get the energy and strength in life. You don't wait till you feel great to go to church. No, even in your worst day, that means you got to drag your messed up backside to church. I got to get in the house of God because I need to be in the presence of God, because I know when I'm in God's presence, it changes me. It changes me. God works on the inside out. It changes me. It begins to change you. And then when it begins to change you, guess what? You can rise up in that position of authority and you begin to demonstrate and make choices and make decisions that will change the surrounding around you. Oh, God, don't change me. Just fix everything around me. God said, that's not how it works. To change the inside of you, I have to surround you like a coat, like an armor. But Pastor, what is it? I still don't. What is this clothing? We're talking ideas, but you're referring to clothing. Yeah, because the truth of God can envelop you, can wrap you. Gospel of John chapter 6, hopefully you're there by now. If not, just put your Bible to any chapter and act like you're there. No one will know. If you haven't got there yet, don't worry about it. If you don't, just do like the rest of us when they get in real hard verses and chapters in church, you just end up just flipping it anywhere. Oh yeah, and just close it and put your finger right there and act like you already know that one. Just, I'm helping you out. Gospel of John chapter 6, Jesus said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. That's a King James version, quickeneth. It actually means it is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that makes or brings life. He makes alive. He makes alive. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh, or what you do just out of your own design and ability, not just that you're doing something, but you're doing your own agenda, it does not profit anything. It doesn't mean that it doesn't bring production of increase. It means on the eternal scale, it does nothing. The words that I speak unto you, notice what Jesus is saying, the words that I speak unto you, say it's God's word. Come on, say it's God's word. To me. One of the challenges I see in the church world is when Christians, good Christians, but are growing in the things of God, they begin to try to operate by the God's word that he has spoken to somebody else. They'll hear someone's testimony and think, oh, that's a good idea. I like that. I want that. I'll do that. And God didn't speak to them yet.
Right.
It must be a word that God is revealing to your heart. You say, well, God's not a respecter of persons. What he does for one, he'll do for the other. Absolutely true in principle. But Jesus called Peter out of the boat, and Peter walked on water. If you go out to the Lake of the Ozarks, get in a boat, and take that same principle, Jesus, you told Peter, called him out to walk on water, and he did. So if you called Peter to walk on water, I'm going to walk on water. May I strongly encourage you to have a life preserver on or a good ability to swim, because if Jesus didn't call you out of the boat, someone talk to me, stay in the boat. You see that? That's why around here we don't force people in the outward expression until they had an inward revelation. Even in your giving, I can talk about money now because it's behind us. We don't force people to give, and okay, you don't give, so your name's on the wall. And you should give. It works. The truth works. The principle works. Now, I understand that there's a lot of abuse on either side, and we talk about that, but we're not going to go to either extreme as a church. You should be happy about that. We don't overemphasize money, and we don't ignore money. Because if you ignore it, then you rob the people of the opportunity to have the blessing of God in their life. Because that's the connection to the blessing of God. But if you go to the other extreme and force people to do it, they will do an outward expression without an inward revelation. And when you do an outward expression or obedience or action without it becoming alive to you to do it, then it's not a word that God's spoken to you. And you know what happens? There's no life.
Right.
And you become exhausted.
Right.
So what do? We need God's word. It is a spirit that makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are what? They are spirit and they are life. They are what? They are spirit and they are life. They are spirit and they are life. Now, let me say it this way. God's word will bring life to you, and God's word will sustain you in life. Why? Because the spirit says make alive. So God's word will make that area alive, and God's word will keep that area alive. We always look for new ideas, new angles, new, sometimes even deeper revelation, but sometimes we over exaggerate or go too far and miss and forget some of the basic truths that are the key elements. Jesus said, my word, the word that I'm speaking to you, as God's word's coming into your life, the word of God, listen to me, the word of God is quick, which means alive, and powerful, the Bible says, and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's why even as a church, I've chosen, and for strategic reason, people say, well, what do you believe? I believe the Bible.
Yes.
No one's perfect. We're all growing. But I hate being labeled by something created by man.
Right.
Because the moment I'm labeled by, identified with a label created by man, if they decide to change it in the future, then I'm stuck with the interpretation of being acceptable to that identity. I choose to line myself up with the Word of God.
Amen.
Well, what are you? Are you Baptist? Are you charismatic? Are you Pentecostal? Are you Church of God in Christ? Church of God? Assembly of God? Listen, how quiet it got. Some of you having the same question. I believe the Word.
Yeah.
It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. I believe the Word. Because I've seen the historical path of denominations and what they start to believe as an organization, because we need the common ground of people to understand that we all are agreeing with this, and yet if you move it 100 years down the road, they don't have anything similar to what they started with. It's quiet around here. I used to feel comfortable with the idea of non-denominational. Now that's become its own thing too. I don't even know what to say to people. I just say, it's kind of like one of these things. You got to come and check it out. Find out for yourself.
Right, right.
How do you hear me? The proof of the pudding is in the eating. Come check it out yourself. Amen. Aren't you glad you checked it out yourself? Thank you for the 12 people who are glad that you're a member of Hope Church. The rest of you, I'm just nuts. It is the spirit that quickens, makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They are what? They are spirit and they are life. I put on the garment of praise. How do I do it? I begin to give God thanks and begin to speak praise and speak his word of praise over my life. I begin to demonstrate outwardly with the revelation that's inwardly from the truth. Not because surrounding me feels like I should, but something on the inside stirs me up. And says, so just like Paul and Silas, that says, wait a minute, they've been beating me. You don't listen, when you've been beaten, God forbid any of us ever experience that, but if you've been beaten, you don't get energy, you lose energy. Right. You don't feel happy. Right. You don't feel optimistic. Right. You don't feel positive. You don't feel, that's not the time you check your feelings. We need to remove the clutter out of our spiritual closet. And begin to look at what God has provided to us through the truths and revelation of his word and begin to encompass, incorporate those things into our life. And God, if you said it, like Romans 4 says, Abraham believed that if God said it, he'll do it. God, you're telling me to do something, and I don't understand it, and I don't feel it, but I'm going to obey. I'm going to begin to speak your word over my life. That was the whole thing of the armor of God. Begin to speak. If you're dealing with the devil tormenting, attacking your mind, no. You don't have to be a victim to that. Begin to walk the hallways, drive down the road, whatever you might be, and begin to speak the truth of God's word, that you have on the helmet of salvation, that you have the mind of Christ, that Jesus has been made wisdom unto you, that the anointing of spirit of wisdom and spirit of understanding rest upon your life, making it, according to Isaiah, a quick understanding. That no, you don't have to deal and embrace any depression or oppression. No, you can resist that. You have the mind of Christ. You can say, I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. I think the thoughts of God. I pull down strongholds. I cast down imaginations and reasonings and any high thing to try to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. I bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of God in Christ Jesus. I command my mind to line up with the word of God, that whatsoever things are pure, lovely, honest, just, good reporting, virtue, grace. I think on these things. What am I doing? I'm setting my affection, my focus on things above, not things on the earth. I'm looking to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm looking to the joy set before me that I can endure any temporary situation, because we might be crying today, but joy comes in the morning. The devil has no right to try to keep you in depression or tears for more than one night. In the morning, joy comes in the morning. What we have to understand, I was sharing with my daughter, that the Jewish calendar, their Jewish custom, is so redefined differently than the way we do in the American world. Their calendar is not based on the 365 days. It's a different number. It's based differently. But even their day, their new day doesn't start at midnight like our new day does. Their new day starts at 6 a.m., what we would call 6 a.m. It starts at the dawning of a new day. It starts at the entrance of a new light. It's just not a natural thing. It's a spiritual connotation, because God wants you to know that your day begins when the light shows up. Doesn't Isaiah 60, arise, shine. Why? Because your light has shown up. Yeah. Psalms 119, the entrance, the unfolding of his word, it gives light. John 1, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. See, when the understanding, that's what Psalms 119, the entrance, the unfolding of his word gives light, it gives understanding. When the understanding comes to your heart, it's the light, it's the new day, it's the new season, and you put on that garment. You begin to, James says, not just be a hearer, but a doer of the word. You begin to put on that garment. I'm going to put on the garment of praise today, not because I'm feeling good. Not because I'm feeling bubbly and excited, optimistic, but I'm feeling like the enemy is attacking me and I don't see light at the end of the tunnel. But that's the natural. That's the temporary. That is the thing that is subject to change. I choose to put on the garment of praise, and I'm going to walk the halls of my house, and I'm going to be lifting up my hand and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I worship you. I thank you, Father God, that this is the day the Lord has made. I will. I choose to. I will rejoice, and I'm going to be glad in it. When I choose to praise him, I'm going to be glad in it. When I choose to worship him, I'm going to be glad in it. When I choose, I begin to give thanks and put on the garment of praise. Hallelujah. Well, I just don't know what to do. Then get into the Word until you get understanding. Get into the Word. Are you listening? I'm trying to close. Let me say this. You never experience God by casually pursuing Him. You never experience the goodness of God by casually pursuing Him. If you try to manage God like you do your problems and your people and your bills and your routines and a little bit of God here, a little bit of God there, and I got to make sure I get to church at least once a month so I can hear a little bit of word here, a little bit of word there, you'll never experience the life that God has, the light of God's word. But when you begin to get hungry, when you begin to pursue God, draw near to God, when you draw near to God, He'll draw near to you out of a pure heart. When you get sick, God, I'm so desperate for you, I don't care who gets in my way, I'm going through them, around them, over them, because I got to get to you, you're going to begin to experience God. God is so good. The psalmist said that I know this is not in my notes and in the boundary, but it still sounds good. God is so good that the psalmist said that He wraps Himself in obscurity. He wraps Himself in obscurity because no casual onlooker has a right to see Him. Only those who have clean hands and a pure heart, Jesus said. I just want to not give you information. I want to give you impartation. You have to get to the place on the inside of you that you are so fed up with the enemy, the tactics of the enemy against you in your life in any area, that you begin to rise up and say, enough is enough. Until you're there, He's going to try to kick your teeth in. He's going to try to destroy your life, your marriage, your finance. Until you get enough is enough. You can't be casual with that. You can't be casual with the things of God. You got to get hungry for the things of God. You got to be zealous for the things of God. Amen. It doesn't mean you're perfect. Paul's mistake was that he was zealous in the wrong path. That's why he had the encounter with God. Right. But he was zealous for God. Yes. Till you get to the place to say, enough is enough. As long as you're comfortable with it, you'll never change it. You want to see a season change, you get to the place of saying, enough's enough. I am tired of tolerating this. I'm tired of going around the same mountain. I'm tired of just hearing what can be and is not, or what should be and it's not. I'm ready to begin to walk into the promised land that's available to me. And if there's a giant spiritual, natural, whatever, he's going to have his head rolling, because at the end of the day, I will rest my head on the pillow in the promised land of God. And you begin to say, God, I'm going to take you at your word, and I'm going to pursue you with a pure heart and clean hand. I'm going after you. You cannot go out and live in the world like the world 6 days a week and come into the house of God one day a week and expect God to bless you and reward you and do everything on your wish list. It's not about you. It's all about Jesus. And say, Lord, it's not my life. It's not about me. I die to me. I die to me. I die to me. I die to me. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God who died and rose again for you. If you think coming to church, and we are so glad you came to church today, but if you think coming to church gives you a brownie point with God, you are missing the riches of God's inheritance, because it comes by grace through faith. The reason we come is because we love Him. The reason we give is because we love Him and we worship Him and we obey Him. The reason we are serving Him is not to get something from Him. It's because we love Him so much. He is so good. He is so good that we can't keep that goodness to ourselves. We got to share with other people. We got to help other people. We got to reach other people. We got to witness to other people. We got to do what God's called us to do, because He's so good. We love Him. 80% of the global church has no idea what I'm talking about. And they are rocked to sleep every night in their spiritual bed with lukewarm milk, thinking that they have done the good thing, because their focus is on them. I'm not such a bad person. I went to church last month. And they live a life that's producing fruit just like the world. Right. And I'm telling you that in the last days, the things are about to change. Your season can change with the truth of God's word. We want you to shine. We want you to produce the fruit that God has for you so that other people, not only God gets glory, John chapter 15, verse 17, 16, that your Father gets glory, but other people can experience that same life.
Amen.
See, my season is changing. Not based on a calendar, but based on the truth of God's word to you. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we thank you today. Father, we thank you today. Father, we thank you today. We worship you. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you today. We come before you, not trying to impress you, not trying to earn something from you, but by grace through faith, we receive all that you have. But we come before you, not even for the things. We come before you because we want you to know today that we are honored to be your people.
Yes.
You are our God. And there is no God like you. We are your people. We love you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our might. We love you, Lord Jesus. Move upon your people today. Heal those that need healing. Strengthen those who need strength. We love you, Father God. We worship you. We worship you today. We worship you today. Just take a moment and lift your hand and begin to, from your heart, just express your love. I sense his presence so strong. Thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you for your rewards to us. But most importantly, it's not those things. It's you. We desire you, your presence, every day. Speak to the hearts of your people today. Let truth and understanding bring light and revelation. Equip us to do what pleases you and what you've directed us to do. We love you, Father God. We thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Right where you're at. If there's sickness in your body, just put your hand on it. I just believe the Lord is healing people. There's a special anointing just walked into the room. I don't want to close too quick. We speak healing into your body. We curse and bind sickness. Call you healed. Pain leave now. By the authority in the name of Jesus. It's done. I curse and bind that cloudiness, that band off the minds of people right now that are dealing with oppression and depression. We send your truth, and it's a truth that brings freedom. Thank you, Lord Jesus. They have the mind of Christ right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for your glory. Thank you for your glory. Thank you for your glory. We love you, Father God. Thank you for your glory. Every head bowed, every eye still closed. If you're here and you do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, or if you allowed stuff to come between you and God, and you know your heart's not right, let's pray this prayer together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen, church. How many people sense the presence of God in the house today? Well, in closing, I speak a blessing, especially those of you who are tithers and givers. I speak the blessing of that covenant. Divine favor, divine blessing, divine protection upon your life. As you have obeyed God and continue to do that, I speak according to Psalms 1, everything you put your hand to will be blessed of the Lord. I speak according to Psalms 91 that the angels of the Lord are surrounding you today, protecting you. We call divine favor, God's best, into every area of your life. This is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice and we're glad in it. We love you so much. If you need prayer, there'll be prayer partners down the front following the service for one-on-one prayer. Make sure you invite somebody to church, will you, this week? Who do you invite? Whoever the Lord places on your heart. I'm going to pray that he reminds you of somebody two times. No, let's say three times. They keep coming to your mind. You're like, why does that person keep coming to my mind? That'll be your sign from God that you need to call and bring them to church. Amen? Be a part of what God's doing. We love you. We call you blessed. Have a great day. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.